Get Ready for Success. Leadership Strategies for Women is a show dedicated to providing practical and valuable strategies for emerging women leaders of today. It's your time to get inspired, motivated, and challenged to achieve your vision for success. And now, here's leadership speaker and coach, Ellie Nieves.
Hello, and welcome to Leadership Strategies for Women Radio. I'm Ellie Nieves, your host, and I'm the founder and president of Leadership Strategies for Women, where I develop seminars and webinars to help women achieve career success. And I also coach women one-on-one who want to achieve more both personally and professionally. To learn more, please visit my website at leadershipstrategiesforwomen.com, or you can follow the Leadership Strategies for Women page on Facebook. The title of our show today is Living Beyond the Mess, and our guest is Julia Dale. Julia is a wife, a mother, and an attorney. She's also an avid writer who seeks to encourage moms through her blog entitled Motherhood Matters. Julia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ellie.
Julia, I'm really inspired by the work that you do online with your blog, and I would love to learn a little bit more about your background and kind of what inspired you to start your blog.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I am a wife and a mother. I have three stepdaughters ranging in age from 3 to 22, excuse me, ranging in age from 17 to 22. And then I also have two children ages 2.5 and 7. All five are girls.
And wow.
That keeps us fairly busy. I am a, you know, I work as an attorney with the state as a director of an organization there, and that keeps me busy as well. And Rob and I, my husband, are also very active in our church. So a lot going on these days.
Yeah, sounds like you got your hands full there. So how do you find time to write? What inspired you to launch your blog?
Well, I didn't always want to be a mom. Back in the single days, I thought I was going to pursue this career as an attorney and maybe move to a big city like Chicago and was going to be this career woman with a like-minded husband. And God, you know, really had a different plan for my life. And immediately when I got married, I became a stepmom and not long after became pregnant with my first child. And the significance and role of motherhood just hit me, you know, square between the eyes. I just was something that the significance of which was really pressed upon me. And it was something that developed over years, this interest on what it means to be a good mom and what motherhood looks like and what parenting looks like. And eventually that gave way to me starting the blog.
Wow, that's wonderful. So you actually wrote a great blog post a few months ago that was titled My Dirty Laundry, which was about living in the mess. Can you share the premise of your blog post?
Absolutely. So it stemmed from me watching a loved one struggle a little bit with kind of being in the midst of their own mess and thinking back to times in my life where I was in the midst of my own mess and saying, you know, we've all been through, I think most of us at least, have been through a season or a period in our life in which we're in the middle of either messy circumstances because of our own choices or perhaps because of the choices of others. And really wanting to acknowledge that, you know, being in the midst of the mess is hard and it can be uncomfortable, but that you don't have to stay there, and there is a way to get out of it, and there is hope in the midst of the mess, and wanting to share that truth with other people that might be going, you know, that might be going through a similar struggle in their own mess right now. And so that was the premise for it.
That's great. And what are some of the concepts that you shared in the blog post?
Well, I think one of the first things was, you know, living in the mess, when you're in the midst of a sticky situation, a messy situation, it makes it hard to see things clearly. You know how I feel if I come to home and my home is cluttered or messy and I've got piles of dirty laundry, and it's hard to you know, take your eyes off that to see the other things that might need your attention or the other things that are calling for you. And so the first premise was that recognize that when you're in the midst of a messy situation, your focus might not be clear. Your vision might not be clear because there's all these other things that are clamoring for your attention. And stemming from that, kind of pulling into the next theme, was that when I'm in the mess, it makes it hard for me to focus on anything but the mess. You know, when we have a situation that is calling a lot for our attention, or it's something, maybe we're making some bad choices, or we're living outside of, you know, God's purpose, when we're in the midst of that, it's really hard to see a bigger picture. We just see the decisions that are in front of us, the circumstances that are in front of us, and it's hard to have vision. But it's important to try to focus on other things other than, you know, this mess that is surrounding you.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, from that, no, I apologize, going on that if you live in the mess and you continue to stay in the mess, what you can expect from that is that it's just going to lead to more messes. When we make bad choices, or if we're living in a way that causes or brings chaos into our lives, if we continue in that pattern, what we can expect is that we're just going to have, you know, we're going to go from one messy situation to another. We're not going to be free from that unless we deliberately choose to make some choices and do the hard work to deal with what it is we're in the midst of.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, because there's so much self-reflection that needs to take place in order to be your best self in those sticky situations. And sometimes we do get caught up in those moments. We get caught up in the emotion of it, and it doesn't give us the opportunity to really clear our heads and think about things in a clearer way so that we can take more positive steps to address the matter.
Well, it really requires, you know, if we have a hard time getting that focus we need, there's some hard conversations, personal conversations that have to be had about, you know, what am I doing to contribute to this situation, and what can I do differently if I don't want to live this way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are some great tips. Thank you for sharing those. Now,
Absolutely.
You are very accomplished. Not only are you a mom, you're also an attorney, and you mentioned that you work for the state.
Mm-hmm.
Have you faced any challenges as you've been striving to succeed in your own career?
Well, I think we all face challenges. There's a couple that stand out to me, and most of them are things that I think sometimes you create yourself. I would say one of the biggest challenges I've faced in my career is really learning that even though I have a plan and I had a vision for where I wanted to go, recognizing that I'm not really, at the end of the day, the one in control, that my faith, you know, my trust in God and his plan for my life means that sometimes things might not proceed in the time that I want them to, or that God might have a plan that's a little bit different than mine. And really learning to relinquish control and to recognize that I can't control everything, that's been a challenge. And it's one I think that as I mature becomes easier to deal with. A good example of this is that I had, right out of law school, I had a plan for how my career was going to progress. And
mm-hmm.
What's interesting to me is that while I had done some good work and had made some movement, my career really did not take off until after I got married and had children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was which was odd. To me, it made no sense. I didn't understand the timing of it, and I was given a lot of opportunities as a result of my hard work, and it wasn't the way I had planned things to go, but I think God had another plan there.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said about being mature, because that really is kind of at the heart of the matter, right, when we have the maturity to understand how differently things can evolve than what we initially had planned. And I think that's one of the challenges that we have as women in general, is always putting timelines on ourselves, right? We said,
Absolutely.
By the time I'm 25, I want to be married. By the time I'm 28, I want to have kids. And things can evolve much more differently than that, and sometimes it does take maturity to understand that.
I think that's a great example, Ellie. I think we really, it really just requires that we sit back a little bit and we live a little bit more life and we look around us and we have that maturity to be able to say, you know what, there was some wisdom in this timing. There was wisdom in this planning. I think the other thing, the other challenge that I had, and I think also leans a little bit on some maturing, is finding my own approach to my career and leadership and what that looked like for me. Our society or our world will say, well, if you're a leader, this is what a leader looks like, or this is what a leader sounds like, or if you want to be in a high, you know, in management, this is what it looks like. And to some extent, there are certain characteristics for leadership and to be successful as a leader or successful as a manager, but really trying to find your own voice and finding an approach that fits you, because authenticity, you know, is going to carry you a lot further than picking up a different persona that doesn't really suit you.
I love that, because it's really about developing a leadership style, and maybe we don't always stop and think that how we lead can also be packaged into a style, right? How we manage,
absolutely,
how we interact with people, and it does take time to develop that leadership style, and sometimes it has to do with being managed by other people, and as someone who's being managed by someone else, asking yourself, is that how I want to manage? Is that how I want to lead when I step into a leadership role?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, throughout my career, what I've seen is that there are different tools that you pick up along the way. You might be managed at one point or mentored at one point by one individual, and you might like certain approaches that they use, and then you may say other things don't quite work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you take those good things and you learn from the not so good things. And I think doing that throughout your career is important, and it's important to develop your own voice.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, you've mentioned God several times throughout our conversation.
Yes.
What role does faith play in your professional life?
I think my faith is it's central to my professional life and the strategies I use when I lead at work, and how I interact with people. I absolutely believe when I look at I mentioned that my career really took off after I was married and had children. And in state government, you know, you don't generally promote very quickly. People are public servants for a long time, and you kind of work your way if you decide to stay with state government. And I was really fortunate to have some unique opportunities, and I really attribute a lot of that to God, but I will say that when it comes to how I lead and how my faith comes into play, one of the most important things is looking at how I treat the people that I work with. My faith should always influence how I lead and how I manage people. And, you know, a lot of people will step up and say, hey, I identify myself as a leader, but we're not a leader, really, unless we have individuals that want or are willing to follow us. And what I have found throughout my career is that if you build relationships with individual, you will consequently develop their trust in you and in your decision making. And when people trust you, they're willing to follow you. And that makes you a leader. And my faith really influences the way I treat people and how I go about building those relationships with them.
That's really great insight. I love when you said that we're not leaders if we don't have followers, and that's exactly what it's about, isn't it? And we really do have
followers. It's a two-part relationship.
Yeah. So what are some of your personal goals and your aspirations?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. There are obviously those goals that, you know, I'd like to see myself as continuing to develop as in the workplace as a leader and being a stronger leader and a better leader there. A lot of them are based on improving, right? I want to be the best wife that I can be. I want to be the best mother that I was created to be. So those are some of those basic goals that I set aside for myself every year. Specifically, though, what I would like to see myself doing for this new year is really focusing on how I can encourage others around me better and in a way that speaks truth into their life and gives them the confidence they need. I'm trying to look at how I can develop that more with other women and mothers especially. I also really felt led to be focused more on prayer this year. It's something I pray a lot for wisdom, especially at work. That's, you know, I want to make sure that I'm making wise choices. I know that I'm not the person that knows everything, and so I'm always seeking good wisdom and direction. And really trying to learn to be even more patient with the timing of things and enjoying what it is that's before me now, whether it's at work, not looking for what that next step is, but enjoying the opportunities that I have to lead and develop people and programs, or at home, you know, enjoying the time I have right now with my second grader or with my two-year-old, and not wanting to rush to that next phase. But really just trying to be present in the moment.
That's wonderful. And how do you manage to balance it all?
I think balance probably when it comes to career and family and blogging is, or anything, whatever it is that you're passionate about, is a bit of a misnomer. There's a book that I read once called Choosing to Cheat by Andy Stanley. And it starts with the premise that, you know, that you are going to cheat in different periods of your life on your job or on your family. And I think that's just recognizing how you set up boundaries, how you manage your time, and being able to recognize what areas need your attention at a particular moment the most. And the reality is that my number one priority is going to be my family and then my career. And while I am passionate about my blog, I know that at this season in life, it's not the thing that's going to get the most of my time. And so just kind of waiting for that next step or that next season where I will be able to devote, you know, more time to that, to be able to develop more perhaps blog series that I want to write about. But recognizing that right now I have a career that I want to do to the best of my ability, and I have a family that I want to be there for. And fitting in these other things as they have time, because they're not my number one priority. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. This means that when you have your priorities straight, everything else falls into place. That's great.
It does.
Yeah. So how can our listeners follow you?
Absolutely. Well, they can follow me on my blog at juliadale.org, where they can subscribe. They can also follow me on Instagram at Julia Ann Dale, JuliaAnnDale, or on Twitter at TheJuliaDale.
That's great. Julia, thank you so much for taking the time today to share about yourself and to give us some insight on how we can all live beyond the mess. You've shared some really great strategies, and I know that our listeners have really greatly benefited from your wisdom today. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, God bless.